Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Sat Signal. This one is no doubt going to stir up some comments. The reason I'm making this is not so much to say you should or shouldn't buy XRP. It is to demonstrate how I would think about buying XRP if I was going to buy it, which I am not, for the reasons I'll explain at the end of this video. So with that said, let's jump right into it. As always, this is not financial advice. I am just a guy on the internet, and you should do your own due diligence in any of this stuff that you do. To start with, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play you a short clip, which is just so you can see the guy behind XRP, one of the founders, Brad Garlinghouse. You can hear in his own words in just this little soundbite what XRP is about and who he is, and then I will give you my take on it following this clip.
So Ripple started years ago with this macro vision of how do we enable an internet of value? How do we let value move the way information moves today? We think about how easy it is to send an email to anyone in the world or a text message. You know, not that many years ago, that was not so easy. And you wrote a handwritten letter and it received 3 or 4 days later in the mail. And money in some ways is the same. You know, today, moving money between networks, you can't send money from PayPal to Venmo, let alone you talk about cross-border international payments. The friction is high, the cost is high. Ripple aspires to really enable that internet value, to let value move seamlessly across borders, pay anyone, anytime, anywhere, just like sending an email. And I think we will see that future by leveraging technologies like crypto.
So that's Brad Garlinghouse, and that's just a very, very high level overview of what XRP does. What XRP really does is it's kind of like a translator or a means to move value, as he said, across the internet. Now you might think, well, doesn't Bitcoin kind of do that? And doesn't Ethereum kind of do that? How is XRP different? Well, XRP is really, really fast and enables a really high volume of transactions per second, much, much faster than Bitcoin, much faster than most networks out there. Bitcoin and XRP are two completely different use cases and they don't really compete. But what XRP fundamentally allows people to do is it allows people and banks to move value, whether that value is money, and in a moment I'll show you it can be other things other than money. It does it really, really fast, and interestingly, it enables it to be done between banks. What's really interesting about XRP, it is already being embraced by banks because there are so much inefficiency in moving money internationally right now. And so XRP has this really clear real world use case, and it is disrupting what we call TradFi, which is traditional finance. And so XRP, and I know the XRP people here are gonna go, but there's more. I know there's more. I'm just trying to explain it in simple terms for the average person who's seeing this for the first time, who might be looking at the price of XRP, you know, talking to their friends and they're going, what do you reckon XRP is gonna do? And they talk about how they think it's gonna go this way or that way, but they actually don't understand what it does. They're just basically like trading football cards. So it's a technology that enables value or a ledger to be moved and transferred very quickly cross-border, like from Japanese yen to American dollars, Australian dollars, and so on. So that is a very, very clear real-world use case. Who does it really compete with, and how big is the market? So let me just show you this. I dug this up off the web, which I found is a very concise and unbiased explanation of how big this market of just moving monies across the world are. Now, the dominant player that many of you have probably heard of is SWIFT, right? The SWIFT payment network. So when you go, you know, and try and transfer money, you need the SWIFT code, right? So let me just give you an example of the size of this market. If you're trying to understand the volume of electronic transactions generally to an order of magnitude, it is in the quadrillions of dollars per year. According to this document from the US Treasury, SWIFT handles about $5 trillion of transferring money per day, or given about 250 business days a year, about $1.25 quadrillion a year. That is a lot of money moving through the SWIFT network right now, relatively inefficient compared to the speed and cost that XRP offers. Does XRP have a potential opportunity there, and is there product market fit? Well, let's dive in and have a bit of a look. Now, before we do, I want to show you the price of the XRP token over the last year so you can just get a sense of how it's tracking. And you can see here from this chart, it was flat, flat, flat for a long, long time. And then all of a sudden something happened. It just went vertical. And now it's sort of been flat for, you know, the last 6 months, just up and down, but mostly sideways. So why did it do this? Well, they were in court for a long, long time. And you'll notice there around November, it spiked. What happened in November last year? Well, of course, there was a little election in the United States, and court case soon went away. And so XRP didn't have this huge litigation pending over its head with the SEC in the US. And of course, the token took off and it's, you know, back on track now, which is exciting. But you can see right now it's had this spike, it's gone sideways and so on. But the question that you want to know is, A, should I buy it? Is it cheap right now? Is it expensive right now? That's what I'm going to try and dig into and see if we can make sense of it. So if you look at CoinMarketCap today, as I'm filming this, XRP tokens are at $2.28. Now, I want to explain this about, you know, very clearly, because I got a lot of positive feedback about this in the last video. People don't know how to value things, right? Like, is $2.28 high or low? Well, again, cannot be known without understanding the overall market cap or the value of the entire project. Now, we call it a project in crypto. If it was a company, we'd call it the market cap of the company, and often in tokens and crypto projects, we call it the project, or same thing. Think of it the same thing. So at the moment, with all of the XRP tokens that are out there on issue, so Ripple is the company and XRP is the token that Ripple creates, right? So if you added up all the XRP tokens in the world today at the price of $2.28 per token, you can see here that the market cap, the market value of the entire network is $133 billion. So the question is $133 billion for this technology cheap or expensive or about right? So let's try and determine that. That's what the market cap of XRP is today. Just to give you a couple of ways to maybe think about it, and this is where I'm getting into the bit about understanding how to value something. You can apply this to Bitcoin, you can apply this to XRP, you can apply it to anything. But what I'm trying to demonstrate is A, how to value it, and A, how to think about value. What are comparables of similar things? So when it comes to the market of moving money around the world cross-border, there's some companies that you might know at the retail level. Like I said before, XRP does bank-to-bank, which is massive, right? And government-to-government, which is massive, but also retail. So let's just look at the retail, which means person-to-person, right? Human beings transferring money. There's a company called Wise Payments. I use them every day here in Cyprus. I have a card which I go into a coffee shop and I pay with that card. Instead of using my NAB card, like my National Australia Bank credit card, where I get charged the exchange rate by the bank, I get charged the transaction fee by the bank, an international transaction fee every single time I pay for something, with a Wise payment card, I get a physical card in the mail and it's on my phone as well, and I transfer money from my Australian bank account into my Wise payment bank account in Australia for free. And then Wise, their exchange rates are way sharper than the banks, right? And so I get rid of all that inefficiency. I get rid of these, you know, transaction fees when I go buy a coffee here. And I just simply pull out my Wise card and I pay in the local currency. I'm getting incredible exchange rates. And when I need more money, I just transfer it from Australia into my debit card and away I go. Incredible service. So many people use it. In fact, 12.8 million customers around the world use Wise Payments, right? So that's really powerful. Here in Europe, they have a similar thing and it's called Revolut. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. But if you look at Wise Payments, they are a publicly traded company. They have 12.8 million customers. And as you can see here, when you Google it, this is from Yahoo Finance, you can see the market cap of Wise Payments is 10.9 billion. So just under $11 billion. Now remember, the market cap of XRP was about $130 billion, right? So Wise Payment, 12 million actual real world customers, valuation of about 11 billion, and XRP is significantly more, nearly 15 times or 14 times more valuable than Wise Payments based on that comp, right? Now, before the XRP army jump in the comments and rip my head up and say, but that's just retail, there's banks, there's other things. I'm getting there, just stick with me. If we look at Revolut, now here in Europe, especially on Cyprus, almost everybody uses Revolut. Hardly ever do I see somebody pull out a Bank of Cyprus card or a bank card of any kind. They pull out the Revolut card out of their wallet or use it on their phone. Revolut is massive in Europe. They have 65 million customers, and they are helping them move money from any country in the world using the same efficiencies that I described with the Wise Payments cards. You get to avoid the banks just ripping you off with exchange rate, ripping you off with transaction fees through the network, the Visa network, and all that craziness. Revolut, 65 million customers, and they are not publicly traded. They are a private company, but they have done rounds of funding. And with a little bit of digging, you can find out the valuation of the company based on the last investors to invest in Revolut. You can see what valuation did they come in on. So Revolut said, hey, we're raising money. We value ourselves at X. Would you like to buy some shares privately, not on the stock market? So as you can see here, it was founded in 2013, has 18,000 employees, and their last round valuation valued them at $49.9 billion. So again, this company has 65 million customers, and which is a lot, right? That's three times the population of Australia using this Revolut card, right? So that's a huge amount of customers, 65 million, and they're valued at 50 billion. Now again, let's look at that in comparison to XRP. XRP has a valuation of $130 billion. How many customers does XRP, or how many wallets are there with XRP? I'll get to it. And again, I'm going to expand this beyond just retail. This is just one use case for XRP, but just to help you understand. So if we jump in and look at CoinMarketCap again and go back to CoinMarketCap, we're reminded $133 billion valuation, but there's only 6 million XRP wallets in the world right now. Is this a good thing or is it a bad thing? If you're an XRP person, you might say, exactly, right? There's only 6 million people are onto this so far. This can be so much bigger than everything else. But I'm just making the point that there's 6 million wallets and a valuation of 135 billion, which is three times that of Revolut, which has 65 million real world active customers transferring value effortlessly across borders. Now, there's not a lot of inefficiency when you use Wise or Revolut. In fact, just this week, I've been using it. Last night, I needed to pay somebody out of my Cyprus bank account, and I moved the money into my Wise payments. It got their instant transfer, and then using the debit card, I paid for what I needed, which was another service provider actually in Dubai, and I was able to do it like that. And that's not running on XRP rails. That's running on these other payment rails, right? So hopefully for those of you that have just bought XRP because, you know, your friend told you it's going to go up, or it moves banks, it's going to be massive. Hopefully at the very least, I'm not telling you to sell, right? I'm not telling you it's a bad investment. What I am telling you and what I am showing you here is this is how investors analyze the value of assets. They think about what is the use case for the thing that I'm buying, and is that a lot or is that a little? I don't just go on the token price. This thing of token bias that I mentioned, or price bias that I mentioned at the start, but I don't think I completed. A lot of people go, Bitcoin's $107,000 a coin, or $110,000 US a coin, and XRP is only $2.25. Like, it's cheap, but that's not the way to think about it, because XRP, for example, issue billions of XRP, new XRP, every year. Billions of XRP tokens they issue out into the marketplace. There are a lot more coins on issue in XRP than there are with Bitcoin, right? So it's not about the price of the token. It's the price of all the tokens that are in existence at that current price to determine the value of the overall project. Does that make sense? So to put that in perspective, XRP is at $133 billion and Bitcoin's at about $2 trillion. And it's not because of, you know, the number of tokens, it's just the price combined by the number. Anyway, hopefully you're following along with me here. Let's not skip over that point I said, that it is, XRP is not just retail to retail. Those examples is just retail money being moved. It doesn't include or account for banks using XRP to transfer value as well. So that's a massive, massive market. I don't have the numbers. I tried to dig in to exactly what is done, but what I did show you is SWIFT, right? And I showed you that SWIFT is $1.25 quadrillion a year on the Swift network, which is relatively inefficient, as I said, to XRP. But on the Swift network is retail and banks and a whole bunch of stuff as well. Let me just add a couple of things in the mix here for your consideration, right? And I'm getting at the end as to why I won't buy XRP. And you'll be surprised by the answer. Here's a couple of headlines around XRP that are exciting, right? So as I said, XRP is not just for moving money, it's a blockchain that can transfer value quickly. And you can go deeper down the rabbit hole on the technicals. I'm trying to stay away from the technicals for a moment. I'm just trying to get you to think more strategically as an investor. So here's a headline that got my attention, came out this week. XRP Ledger powers $16 billion Dubai real estate revolution. What's next? And the subheadline says, Dubai Land Development taps XRP Ledger for a $16 billion real estate tokenization project, revolutionizing property investment in the Emirates. Now, if you read this story, what this is about, this tokenization of real world assets or physical assets, it's going to mean that the ownership of a property, like in Australia, when you buy a property, you get a title to the property and it's registered with the Lands Titles Office, right? What this is enabling to do is to tokenize or to share the ownership of a property in Dubai. So you can go along and invest $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 into a property that is owned on the blockchain by a bunch of different people, and you can buy and sell a fraction of any property through using blockchain technology. And that property could be a house, it could be a car, it could be any real world physical asset. And that has to be powered by something. It has to have a ledger, a technology to track and monitor and make all of that ledgering, right, which is what banks usually do or government bodies, work. And XRP has here been tapped to actually do that for the first time in a $16 billion real estate project, which is going to be offered to investors that they can buy a tiny part of that property project, which is super, super exciting. It unlocks liquidity. It creates opportunity and access to so many people around the world that right now are locked out of these markets. It's an enormous opportunity, but it's not just tokenization of real estate. This article, I wanted to read it to you here. WEF, which is the World Economic Forum, Ripple builds tokenized asset infrastructure for future generations. Will Ripple pave way for the $7 trillion private equity tokenization? Now, if you read the article, this is all about being able to move stocks onto the blockchain. So right now, if you want to buy an Apple stock, you have to go open a NabTrade account or a Commonwealth Bank, ComSec, whatever it is, account, and then you can buy and sell those securities. They're called shares, stocks, securities, ETFs, all that stuff, through your brokerage account. The problem is you can only trade live when the stock markets are open, right? So they open at 9 to 5, whatever they are, 9 to 4 in the US or whatever exchange you're on, and that's it. And then they close and so on. With this, with the tokenization of shares, you will be able to own the shares on the blockchain, and on your phone, you'll be able to trade an Apple stock or an Amazon stock or a National Australia Bank share 24/7. It'll never close, and you take out all those inefficiencies in the stock markets, like being closed more than half the time. This again creates massive change in the world. For example, if a lending organization wants to lend you money, one of the problems with having collateral that is a share, they have to wait for the markets to open to liquidate your shares if you fall below the loan to value ratio, right? So this would take that efficiency out and give creditors immediate access and be able to lend more confidently because they'll be able to liquefy those assets 24/7. So XRP powers not just the movement of capital between people, but banks and governments, but also the potential to create efficiencies in the movement of real world assets and ownership, partial ownership of physical houses, buildings, and even the stock market. These markets are absolutely enormous. So you're probably wondering, why wouldn't Adam invest in this? Don't worry, I'm getting to it. I wanna now show you the flip side of some of this and the other way that investors think about these things. So first of all, obviously you're gonna disrupt SWIFT, right? So SWIFT is the 800-pound gorilla in the room that is currently moving all the money. So who owns SWIFT? If you go to Wikipedia, you can look it up, and it's called the Society of Worldwide Interbank Financial Transfers, SWIFT, right? It is legally incorporated, established in 1973 in Belgium, and is owned by banks and other member firms that use its services. So basically it's a member-owned cooperative. They charge about $1 billion a year in fees to the member companies, right? But it's not a for-profit organization. That's what SWIFT is. This XRP token and technology in Ripple is disrupting this. So if you're going to be, you know, investing in it, what kind of problems could happen with XRP that may have happened to Swift? And are you vulnerable as a token holder of XRP if you invest in that project? Well, let's have a little bit look. The big challenge I see with XRP is that it's centralized. What I mean is that, as I said, XRP is the token, Ripple is the company, and it is run by a company with a board of directors, with human beings in charge, making decisions about how many new XRP tokens and, you know, the way that the business side of it works. I don't think this is a bad project. I don't think it's a bad management team. I haven't done enough due diligence on the management team. But here's the point, and the reason I won't invest in this is because in my mind, this right here is the dividing line that puts XRP outside of what I invest in. Now, this is a very key distinction, guys. So many people don't have an investment strategy at all. Their investment strategy is buy things that you think will go up, and that's it. So that's a really loose investment strategy. My philosophy is buy only a few things that you really understand and go deep on those things. Now, because of inflation and because of the way the world's gone, unfortunately, all of us who want to get ahead financially have to invest. It is no longer a choice. The mismanagement of our fiat currency and the inflation system has put us all on the risk curve. I personally have made a decision that I will not invest in startup companies of any kind. Why? Because in my view, they're so risky. And the risk is not only finding product market fit, but there's all kinds of other risks, like, you know, founders dying, fraud, and all this stuff. This is one of the things I love about Bitcoin. There is no founder, there is no central office that if somebody doesn't like something, they can sue them. You can't sue Bitcoin. There is no organization to sue. There's no other conflicts of interest. Now, you might be wondering, well, what's the problem with centralization? I mean, okay, what you're saying is that XRP is run by a company and it's somehow different. Let me give you some practical examples of issues that Swift has run into, and they're not even a for-profit company, but just some of the complexities when you start dealing in this space of cross-border transactions. The first complexity is in this photo that you see right now on screen. That's Brad Garlinghouse to the right of Donald Trump in Mar-a-Lago. Now, you might think, this is amazing. He's friends with Donald Trump. It's amazing if you are a country that is close to America. But Brad's business, XRP, is not just doing business in America. It is a business plan for the world. It is a global organization that is going to have similar challenges to Tesla and Elon Musk. Elon Musk with Starlink, and Tesla with Starlink, he has issues with, like, security issues, right? He is dealing with aerospace, right? So there's a limit to the types of things he can do because he's an American company, and I don't think Russia is going to be too keen to do business with Starlink that keeps his data. Does that make sense? You're now getting into the world of geopolitics and business, and with that comes a whole bunch of risks. So let me just illustrate some of the challenges that Swift ran into. So here's one off their Wikipedia page. US government surveillance. As a series of articles published on the 23rd of June 2006 in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and the LA Times revealed, a program named Terrorist Finance Tracking Program, which the US Treasury Department, Central Intelligence Agency, and other United States governmental agencies initiated after September 11 attacks to gain access to Swift transactions database. After the publication of the article, Swift quickly came under pressure for compromising the data privacy of its customers by allowing governments to gain access to sensitive personal information. Now, I'm not going to go down this whole rabbit hole. What I'm pointing out is that after 9/11, Swift was looked to by various government parties and actors and was pressured. That's because it's centralized. There is a company that is in a jurisdiction, in the case of XRP in the US, and it will come under pressure from the powers that be if they cross certain jurisdiction lines, which can cause all sorts of problems. And you saw it just most recently with Tesla. When Elon went into politics, there were these massive protests and there was all these problems. And so Tesla shareholders are exposed to the risk of Elon's political persuasions, right? They're exposed to the risk of tariffs between China and America. There's all these geopolitical risks, human risks, and so on that happen with centralized projects. On top of the fact that XRP is still a new business, still trying to grow and trying to scale. Here's another example, Iran. In January 2012, an advocacy group United Against Nuclear Iran, implemented a campaign calling on SWIFT to end all relations with Iran's banking system. Right? So I won't go and read the whole thing. But again, you see, with these tensions in the world, when you're involved with cross-border movement of value, whether it's money, whether it's property, whether it's stocks, you put yourself in a very, very interesting place. And the world is a very, very connected place, and all kinds of risks open up. What I'm trying to say is these are the considerations as an investor you must understand, not to scare you away, but to price the risk appropriately. When you think about allocating capital to it, you don't just go in blind because your mate Daryl at Cricket said that it's going to go from $2.20 to $100. You go, okay, it's $2.20, but it's a new business. There's all this geopolitical risk. I can see there's way, way more overvalued on these two real world use cases, Wise and Revolut, but then there's these other things. All I'm trying to encourage you to do is have a balanced approach here to your valuation of any investment, right? Whether it's Bitcoin, Solana, XRP, whatever. But in this space, particularly in the crypto space, people don't do this. They literally go, well, look at the Solana chart. It's starting to pop. I'm just going to allocate. They have no idea how Solana works. They have no idea who the people behind Solana are. Zero. You ask the average XRP token holder, how do you as a token holder accrete value? Like, how do you make money? Why? They're like, it's just going to go up because it's got this. You've got to understand, guys, right? You've got to understand why you're allocating. And the reason you've got to understand so that you've got that conviction, because with crypto, it's like this, right? You've got so much volatility, so much stress is going to come into your life. There's going to be times where if you've told your friends you bought XRP and it drops by 50%, you're going to want to sell. And then it could come back and go to $5 or $10 or $500. So this applies universally that you should educate yourself. My summary of all of this is simple. I don't invest in XRP because I frankly still don't know enough about it. And for the XRP people who are watching this that are complete XRP nerds, they're probably screaming right now because I may have butchered some things. That's okay. I'm openly admitting that I don't know everything about XRP, and that's why I'm not invested in it. I would spend at least 100 hours going really deep to really learn about XRP if I was going to invest in it. My gut feeling on the project is that it's probably one of the most promising crypto projects out there. Of the thousands and thousands of cryptocurrencies and tokens that are in the world, it's probably one of the most promising, but I don't know enough as to whether it's good value or bad value yet. I could probably learn it, and I would then think, okay, on a risk-adjusted basis, knowing everything I know about the upside and everything I know about the risks, what kind of return should I be expecting? For me, my hurdle rate is Bitcoin. I look at Bitcoin, and I am very, very across what the risks are, the counterparty risk, which is basically none. And I know what the returns have been for 16 years. I can see patterns. And Bitcoin compounds at about 40 to 50% a year right now. So do I think XRP is going to compound and grow faster than Bitcoin? I don't know enough, but my suspicion would be yes, because it's earlier in its development cycle. It's been through a really bad time. We have a pro White House for all of this stuff. And then I go as an investor, okay, well, how much better do I think it's going to do than Bitcoin? And then looking at my overall life picture, and I go, okay, if I just got $100,000 and leave it in Bitcoin and it compounds at 40% a year, I'd probably even discount that down to 25% a year. If I got 100 grand and I cut the current growth rate in half and just let it sit for 10 years, where's that 100 grand? Okay, there's a number. Then I go and I go look at XRP and I go, let's say it grows double the Bitcoin rate, right? Let's just say that. Then I've got to go, these are the risks with Bitcoin. I would have done at least 100 hours on Bitcoin, and then I would do at least 100 hours on XRP. And I go, okay, XRP is probably going to make me double, but is the risk double or is the risk 10 times more? That's risk-adjusted investing, right? That's and how does that fit into my overall financial picture? And this is where you need to stop and really think about where it fits in your overall financial picture. I say no to a lot of opportunities. I'll give you one quick example. A friend of mine, right? Smart guy. He is invested in a mining company, and he's been in there really, really early, and they've got the geologicals and they've got all this value locked underground, and the share price has gone up and everything's looking really positive. He's like, dude, you know, like if you want to get in, I can get you in, and I reckon it's going to go to this, right? And he may be right, and he's already a millionaire from it, right? My answer is no. And the reason is not because I don't trust him and not because I don't think it's a successful project or it will be successful. But I don't want to allocate the time necessary to really do the due diligence, to really satisfy what needs to be satisfied before I allocate my post-tax money to that. Look, even if it went 3x, I really know Bitcoin and I really love Bitcoin. Replace Bitcoin with real estate. You might be a real estate person watching this and you go, yeah, but if I get that 100 grand, I can just put it into real estate and I can double that in 2 years. And then when I look at that and I do that every 2 years for 10 years, I think the risk on the real estate's like really almost nothing. And on Bitcoin, it's like, yeah, it's probably going to be double, but it's Bitcoin. It could be a lot higher, the risk-adjusted basis in that person's mind. So stay with that path. Just this morning, I had somebody saying, look, I've got 30 grand and I've broken it up between, you know, Solana, Ethereum, Bitcoin, and then 25% in other cryptos. What do you think? And I'm like, I can't answer that because is this your last 30 grand? Is it your only 30 grand? What are your financial goals? All this sort of stuff. This is why you should never take advice from somebody on YouTube who says, crypto's going to the moon, XRP's going to $100. And then you just go, well, it's going up. But remember what I said right at the start, people invest with no strategy and no rules. And as a result of having no strategy, their only qualifier is, I think it's gonna go up. That's like going dating and saying, as long as it's a female, I will date her. That's a bad dating strategy. A good dating strategy is having a very specific understanding of who you're dating, what, and knowing what you're looking for and how she or he will fit into your life where you are today. And that's what I would say about XRP, Bitcoin, real estate, shares, anything. Personally, my strategy is I love Bitcoin. I've done thousands of hours on Bitcoin and I'm very happy with the risk-adjusted returns, but importantly, it's based on a very, very deep understanding of the asset. And if you're going to look at XRP, I would challenge you to get as much education as I have on Bitcoin. And then if you have, and you still feel that way, and you've looked at the risks and the upsides deeply, then power to you, brother, sister. I hope you make a fortune. Share it with people you love. If you like the channel, subscribe, drop a comment. I hope you're finding this stuff helpful. Bye for now.